Well, good morning, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to once again preach the word. And before I even begin, I just want to, on behalf of my family, just like to thank everyone just for your kind words, for just being open to this new thing. Coming on to eldership. And so we just want to just appreciate it and extend our love and our thanks to everyone. And know that we don't take it lightly. And we just look forward to together for what God is going to do in our midst. And we're excited. And I'm sure you're excited. And I just wanted to get that out the way. There's just been this overwhelming sense this morning of just God's presence and His power, and it's almost unbelievable sometimes just to see how God just orchestrates everything. And so even with the first two songs that Jess chose, not knowing what I was going to speak on this morning, sometimes I'm just speechless that God would look at little old man and desire just to show His goodness towards us. And so this morning we're going to continue our series on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As part 13. And this morning I'm going to talk about Jesus, my healer. Jesus, my healer. And before I begin, I just felt the Lord just wanted me, for me to read this. I don't think it has anything to, well, it has to do with both of us. But 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, it says this. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And so at the end of the day, I don't want you to see Kevin, but I want you to see Jesus through this message. And let's just open up our hearts to receive from Him, because He wants us to receive from Him this morning. I believe that with all my heart. And so if we turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we'll read three scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Are we there? So if you want to take out your Bibles and your iPads and your Androids and your iPhones and your Blackberries and... Might as well start saying that, right? Just take out whatever it is that you have a Bible on. Yeah, it's in your hearts. So verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sin. I'll read that again. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Just trying to set a foundation. So verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. And the last scripture, 1 Peter, verse 2:24. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. Say to yourself, I have been healed. I have been healed. And so we can see that death entered the world through sin. With death came sickness and disease and everything else not of God because of the curse of the law. Find that in Galatians 3:13. Therefore, God sent Jesus to redeem us from the curse of the law by bearing the punishment that man deserved, to bring salvation to all mankind so that we would be reconciled with God and we would then walk in the fullness of His Son, Jesus. And so Jesus went to the cross in spirit, in body, and in soul to redeem man in spirit, body, and soul. And therefore the cross is the center of the plan of salvation for man, spirit, soul, and body. And so every sickness and every disease known to man was included in the curse of the law. Once again, Galatians 3:13. So if Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, then He has surely redeemed us from sickness and disease. And that deserves a shout of praise. That's the good news. To know that no longer do we have to be under this curse of the law, but healing is ours, freedom is ours, victory is ours. And so the Bible makes many references to men and women that were healed. But the first thing we have to determine in our hearts is, number one, is Jesus willing to heal? Is Jesus willing to heal? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when we're there, say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Matthew 8, starting at verse 1. So it says, When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus gave him directions of what to do after that. But notice that the man said, with leprosy, said, if you are willing. And then Jesus said, I am willing. And you see, Jesus is willing to heal us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually today. Today. And not only that, but Jesus is willing to save us today. He's willing to forgive us of our sins today. He's willing to deliver us today. He's willing to lead us and guide us today. He's willing to love and care for us today. He's willing to answer our prayers today. He's willing to strengthen us, provide for us, fill us, anoint us, bless us today. But the question is, are you willing to let Jesus heal you today? Are you willing to let Jesus save you today? Are you willing to let Jesus forgive you of your sins today? Are you willing to let Jesus lead you and guide you? Are you willing to let Jesus love and care for you? Are you willing to let Jesus strengthen, provide, anoint, fill, bless you today? Are you willing to let Jesus do that and a whole lot more? We're just scratching the surface. For you today. For me today. For us. And that is the question we have to answer in our hearts. Because He is willing. But now, are we willing to let Him do what He needs to do in our hearts? The second thing we need to determine in our hearts is that our faith is in His name. Our faith is in His name. And we can see that in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. And it's a story about when Peter and John approach the gate, beautiful, and there's a beggar at the gate. And the beggars put their day after day at the same gate. And each and every day he begs for money. And then Peter and John comes along the road to the gate, beautiful. And the same beggar begs Peter and John for money. And then Peter and John says to the beggar, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." What did he have? The name of Jesus. The faith in his name. So he says, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, it's much better than money. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up, be healed." And they stretch out their hand to help him up. And instantly, his ankles are healed. His ankles are healed. It's faith in his name. And what I just want to do is to stir up faith within you this morning. And not to say that you need a lot of faith to be stirred up. Because this is the one thing, and while I was preparing, the one thing that I just couldn't wrap my head around. The greatest miracle for most of us in this room this morning, the greatest healing for most of us in this room this morning, is when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that same faith that we believed in His name, that He could save us, that He would want to forgive me of my sins, that same faith that we appropriated to that is the same faith that we use for everything else. So if it's the same faith that saved us, why do we feel as though it's not the same faith in healing? Why is it not the same faith when it comes to, I only have $2 in my bank account and I need to pay the bills tomorrow? It's that same faith. Faith is faith. It doesn't change. It's the same faith. But we look at it at a grander scale. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I came to know Jesus and I had that faith. But now, oh my gosh, I can't pay my bills. And oh my gosh, I have this terminal illness. And oh my gosh, And listen, I'm not trying to make light of the situation. I've been there. But the thing is that it's the same faith. The same faith that we need to appropriate to healing or whatever it is that we have need of. And so it brings me to the third point, is appropriating faith. And so we need to be convinced, and that's the word, convinced, that the Word of God is true. That it is, that what it says is absolute. It is black and white. There's no gray with it. And so we can't allow fear or doubt to rob us of our healing. In Hebrews verse 11, verse 1, turn with me. Is this good? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. It's what they were commended for was their faith. And then after that verse, it just goes on to list every just men and women of God that appropriated their faith to every situation that they were faced with. And to me, if a whole chapter is dedicated to that, then it must be important. Just to name just to name people because of their faith. And so faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith must rest on the will of God alone. And when I was writing this, I noticed, oh yeah, that rhymes. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith must rest on the will of God alone. Okay. So now, but not... And so it must rest on the will of God alone and not on our desires and not on our wishes. It's not about us, if you don't get that by now. But it's on His will for your life, for my life. And so faith is not saying that God can, but that God will. So how many people know that there's a difference between I can and I will? So you see, I don't know, I just always love using our relationship. If I say I can wash the dishes versus I will wash the dishes, how many people know that there is a big difference? If I promise Olivia, I'm going to buy a dress for you. I can buy that dress for you. And I will buy that dress for you. How many people see that there is a big difference? Because when we say we will do something, it's an absolute. It's your word. It's a promise. It's sealed in stone. Because how many people know that the most annoying thing in this world for some of us is when people say, I will do something and they don't do it. Preach it. I know for me it's one of my pet peeves. And it's the same way with Jesus. It's the same way how we, with faith in God. Is that when we say, God, yeah, I know you can do it. Or, God, I know you will do it. I'm convinced. And that, I think, is the subtle shift we have to make in our minds. Is that, no, he not only, yeah, he can, but you know what? Greater than that, he will. He will do it. And so when we appropriate our faith and understand that it is God's will for us to be healed, then we are on our way into stepping into the fullness of God. And this morning when, as I was in prayer this week, I just felt certain areas that God wants us to be healed in. Number one, of course, is physically. God wants to just physically heal people this morning. And the obvious reason why He would want to heal you physically is because we are physical beings. Our whole life depends on being mobile. And I think for when it's in regards to physical healing, it's not that you can't be effective for the kingdom. It's that there's a limitation for us. And I had just even the strong sense this morning that it's almost like a Kairos moment this morning of God just really wanting to show His love and heal people this morning. And guess what? He does care if you have a cough. He does care if you have a fever. He does care if you got a bruise this morning and it kind of hurts. Because I think when we think about healing, we think about this serious stuff. No, He cares about that little small stuff. Just wanted to throw that out there. Second thing is our emotions. Really had a strong sense that our emotions needed to be healed this morning for some of us. And in a specific area of forgiveness, Luke chapter 17, verse 3 to 4 says this, "So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." Matthew 6, 14 to 15 says this, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So how many people see that the Bible is kind of serious about forgiveness? And all this that we're speaking about this morning is in the context of moving on in this new season. And I know the ladies, you had a, from the feedback I got from some of you, had a great time yesterday with Trish shared. And I believe she also shared on that aspect of moving on in this new season. And the thing is that moving on in this new season, we can't bring the old with the new. I think at the beginning of the year, I spoke about new wine and a new wineskin. And not bringing the past, can't put old wine into new wineskin. It's the same now. We can't take our past with us into this new season that we're heading into. The third thing is our minds. This good old mind of ours. How many people know that the mind is the devil's playground? There's been many books written about it. There's been many things written about it. But he fights us in our minds. He fights us in our minds. Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so how many people know that what we put in here affects what comes out here? And so the enemy doesn't have to tie you up in order to bound you. He just has to tie up your head with anxiety, with stress, with low self-esteem, with depression, with worry, with rebellion. And then when we come mentally sick, then for some apparent reason, we also become physically sick. What we put in determines what comes out of here. And that's why this mind, it says all through the Bible about renewing your mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. About transforming this mind. I just sense the Lord saying, I want to give you a new mind today. I want to get rid of the confusion. I want to get rid of the to some of you people in here, there's turmoil in your mind. I just sense God just wanting just to heal your mind today and downloading what He thinks of you today. So how do we receive our healing? I'll just begin by this. There's not a single method. And please don't look at healing as a five-step program. And if I do this, if I lie myself, you know, all the Bible says, have faith. Have faith that He can and He will. Because that's what His Word says. And so just different ways to receive healing. And I know we're... So believing the Word. Trusting the Word. Of everything that the Word has to say about healing. Proverbs 4:20-23. I'll just give you scriptures. Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 13, verse 15, Matthew 21, 22. See, the highest form of faith, or this is the highest form of faith, is believing God's word, believing that He says what He says He will do. And it may be difficult to believe God's promises to you at first because the physical circumstances are probably screaming just the opposite of God's word at you. So train yourself to look at God's word, not at the evidence of your five physical senses. Hear the word, receive it by faith, stand on it. You need no further evidence. Second thing is to call for the elders of the church, according to James chapter 5, verse 14. The third thing is the prayer of agreement. We find that in Matthew 16, verse 17 to 19, and chapter 18, 18 to 20. It says, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is also. And if we ask anything and agree for it in prayer, it is done. It is yes and amen. Fourth thing is to pray the prayer of faith. And all that is just saying, appropriating His word now. And just saying, I believe that You can heal me. I believe that You will heal me. Can you just say that again? I believe You will heal me. One more time. I believe You will heal me. You have healed me. Just to end with this. In John 10:10, very familiar piece of passage, and it says this, that the thief comes only, and I'll read this out of the Amplified Version. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. And have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. I just love that part, that I came that they may have life. Have it abundantly. And I think that's the heart of God for us this morning. We even heard it in the service this morning, in pre-service prayer this morning. That there is this life that God wants us to live. To walk in total wholeness. Mind, body, soul, spirit. And the decision is really ours. Is do we want that? Are we willing to let Him do that? And for some of us, yeah, it's going to hurt. For some of us, yeah, it's going to be painful. Because there's stuff we just got to get rid of in order for Him to heal us. And I'm sure for all of us, we have our own testimonies of God's faithfulness, of how He's healed us. I know I do. I know you do. And that's why He does it. He doesn't just heal you and deliver you, and He doesn't just do those things for the sake of doing things so that the reason why He does it is because it then becomes your testimony. And then your testimony, guess what? Doesn't stay with you. But your testimony now is to testify of Christ and His goodness and His healing power and what He's brought you through to other people to then set them free to reveal His truth to them. And I'll just give you this example. So this week I got a phone call. And this family wanted me to pray for them. The thing though is that they didn't know that I was driving in the car with a colleague of mine coming from a team thing that we had downtown. And so, of course, I've never been put into that situation before. But God set me up. And so I prayed with the family, got off the phone, and I can just see my colleague like, what in the world was that? And so my colleague says to me, he goes, wow, that's awesome that you actually believe in something. I go, Because of course that's not what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to be like, why do you believe in that stuff? And now we're downtown and we have to drive out to Whitby. So this whole hour and a bit conversation from that point then had to do about His goodness. Just testifying of Christ. Of His goodness. About His faithfulness. And it all came because of a phone call that God orchestrated, that He set up. And now there is fruit of that. He didn't give his heart to the Lord, but man, did he. I mean, put it this way. I told him, we went down a route about healing, and I was like, so you don't believe in healing? He's like, nah, but I think I need like more evidence than that. And I was like, okay, so how about if I tell you the story? And I know every time I'm up here, I just talk about it because I'm just overwhelmed and blown away by it. But then I brought up the whole, when Trish had her tumor and God healed her of her tumor, and I told him that story. I told him, you know, I went detailed about it, and he was just like, whoa. He goes, man, then I got to change the way I think about this whole thing. You see, it's our testimony. It's our testimony. And that's why God does it. And so when He heals you this morning, when He sets your mind free, when He liberates you today, know that it's not for you to keep to yourself, but it's for you to testify to this world, to this community, to your workplaces, to your family about the goodness of God. And I think that's what we need to understand and really get into our hearts, that it's not about us, but when He shares His goodness with us, we share His goodness with other people. And so, I'm going to invite whoever needs healing this morning. If I can just get someone, just get the musos to come up. If the musos are part of this, that you need healing and stuff, please don't come up here. Be free to be down here. But there's just a few things that I just sense the Lord saying. Just a few areas. One just had a sense of just in terms of forgiveness and with marriages and relationships. I just had that strong sense that there just needs to be a forgiveness released within your heart. And when you do that, oh, and by the way, relationship doesn't mean just your brother and sister at home and your family. There's people in here, or whoever it is, you just need to deal with it today. The other thing I felt, and I've never had this happen to me before, is there's just some people here today, some of us, that just have a victim mentality that God just wants to break today and heal us. And for those of you that don't know what a victim mentality it is, it's this. The victim grates on a poor me attitude. They're allergic to taking their responsibilities for their own actions. They feel as though people are always against them, and that's the reason for their unhappiness. They portray themselves as unfortunate who demand rescuing. They make other people feel as though they're therapists. Let's just keep it real. And it's just this constant overwhelming sense of this woe is me. And it has nothing to do with them taking actions for themselves, but them pinpointing it as the world against them. It's kind of quiet now. And I really just sense that God just wants to get rid of that victim mentality. Forever a victim, I don't think so. That's what I hear. And so if that is you this morning, if anything ministered to you this morning, just want to invite you to come up.